Amanda, remember that time when Catherine of Aragon almost became Queen of England twice?
Hello, and welcome to Remember That Time, an historical podcast. I'm your host, Amanda Webb.
And I'm your host, Anna Webb. And this is a podcast where two sisters totally geek out about our favorite moments in history. And today we're going to talk about Catherine of Aragon, the first wife of Henry VIII. But before we do that, we just want to say welcome to our podcast.
Yeah. It's
the first one. Thank you so much for listening. I'm sorry I sound a little bit gross. I'm recovering from a cold. So that's a good time to record a podcast, right?
Great start. When great start to a podcast.
Yeah. When you're a little stuffed up and coughing. But you know what? The good news is I'm not the one who has to edit it, Amanda.
And it's my job.
All right. Well, let's get into talking about Catherine of Aragon.
Yes.
I am super into the Tudors. Recently, that's kind of been my jam. And by the Tudors, I mean Henry VIII and all of his wives, because, as you know, he had many.
He sure did have many.
So I eventually plan on talking about all of them, but today I want to start with, obviously, the first one, his wife, Catherine of Aragon.
I'm excited. I'm excited to learn.
Yeah, she's super interesting. So Catherine of Aragon was from Spain, so she's a Spanish, I guess, princess, you could say, at the time. Spain. Her mother was Isabella I of Castile, and her father was Ferdinand II of Aragon, which is in Spain, or was.
Oh, Spain. I didn't know that's where her name came from. I mean, that makes perfect sense. I just never realized.
Right, because it's her dad.
Right.
Right. So she was born the 16th of December, 1485, which it does not feel like a real year.
It doesn't. That's years too far back and years too far ahead do not feel real to me.
Yeah. Well, and I think part of it also has to do with the fact that we are from America, which didn't start until the 1700s.
I was about to say, about 1800 is when years start to feel like a real thing to me.
Right, totally. So, like, I can't imagine, like, I've never been to Europe, but obviously I want to go, but I cannot imagine walking around, like, Rome and them telling me when all of these structures that are still there were built and the years only having like three digits or two digits, be like,
yes,
no.
That happened to me so much. I went to Ireland this summer and we were at all of these like ancient burial grounds and they were telling us when they were built and I was like, there's no way that that year was possible.
Right. No such thing. So Catherine of Aragon was born in a not real year. I found the physical description of her interesting because for a lot of like TV shows and movies where she's portrayed, she's often portrayed as like, you know, dark hair, like, you know, what you would think of when you think of a Spanish woman, I guess. But yeah, that's not really what she looked like. Like, she was really fair. She had blue eyes. She was like a reddish blonde, like auburn hair. Like, she wasn't this like dark, like mysterious woman, you know?
Yeah. I wonder if there were like, if those traits in people were more common like at that time in Spain.
I mean,
at least for the royalty, I feel like that makes sense.
Probably. Yeah, that's a fair point. Because, you know, they're all related. we'll get to that in a second. She was Roman Catholic, which is hugely important in her whole life.
I was going to say, that will be important later. Remember that, kids.
The whole time. So here is why. So Catherine is basically poised to marry an English prince. She actually has a pretty strong claim to the English throne herself, right? So the Tudors are in charge at this point in history, but the Tudors weren't the original claimants to the English throne. So there are still a lot of people who don't necessarily think that the Tudors should be the ones on the throne. You know, it's, they don't have a super strong hold on it at this point. And because of Catherine's lineage, she actually had a pretty strong claim. So she's descended from English royals on her mother's side. Her great-grandmother was Catherine of Lancaster.
I did not know that.
Yeah, she's named after her, actually. Mm. And her great-great-grandmother is Philippa of Lancaster. And they were both daughters of John of Gaunt, who was an English prince.
Huh. I had no idea that she had English in her.
Yeah. So her great-great-grandmother, who we were just discussing, they were granddaughters of Edward III of England. So they're granddaughters of somebody who was already on the throne, not a Tudor, but, you know, had claim to the throne. So I know that's like a long line, but she's got...
But people have started wars for less.
Yes, that's true. But she's got English blood. So this makes her a super attractive option for Arthur, who at the time is the Prince of Wales. So Arthur is Henry VIII's older brother. He's the heir to the English throne. He's going to be king when their father dies.
I always forget that they're prince of something. Like, I forget that they're not just the princes. They are, like, prince of a section of England. I forget about that.
Yeah, and the Prince of Wales is the firstborn, and he's the, like, heir to the throne. Right. So, what's his name? That's the...
Oh, geez.
You know
geez.
What I'm talking about. He's the Prince of Wales now.
Yeah.
Elizabeth's son is the Prince of Wales.
Yeah, the first one. Not the one that just got married.
No,
the other
one. Those are her grandsons.
Oh, those are neither grandsons. Of them. That's are the right. Prince of Wales. Oh, geez.
But so she's a really good option for Arthur at this point. So the king's thought at this point is that Catherine marrying Arthur would be a really good way to shore up the Tudors' claim to the throne, because the Tudors have fought a war to get the English throne. And so it's a little shaky, right? So if they marry Arthur off to someone who does have royal lineage and who could have easily inherited the throne at some point in her life, that just shows that, like, they have a right to be on the throne. Whatever issue they have is going to be a legitimate heir, right?
That, yeah, that makes, like, perfect sense. They did that kind of stuff all the time.
So Arthur and Catherine are married by proxy on May 19th, 1499. So that just means that one of them is there and the other isn't. So Catherine...
Oh.
Catherine...
I didn't know that you could do that.
Well, when you're royal, you can do whatever you want, I guess. So Catherine is not there when she and Arthur are, like, technically married.
That's so odd.
And then I found this interesting. When she finally travels to London... She brought a group of African attendants with her, and these are widely considered to be the first recorded Africans in London at the time.
Huh.
Isn't that interesting?
That is fascinating.
So there you go. I don't know if that's, like, definitely the first ones, but that's, you know, they're widely considered to be.
Huh. Yeah. That's really cool. I had no idea.
So Arthur and Catherine married May 19th. They actually meet in person on November 4th, 1501.
Excuse me?
So that's what, 2 years after they're actually married?
3 years.
Well, no, they got married in 1499.
Right, but they didn't see each other in 99 or 1500.
Well, it's 2 years
and they
after
meet,
they
yeah.
get married is when they see each other. That's
sure,
what I'm saying.
Okay.
So yes. Catherine and Arthur get officially married at Old St. Paul's Cathedral. So, like, this is the one where they're in the same room on November 14th of that year. And Catherine brings with her a dowry of 200,000 crowns. So that's plates, jewelry, probably actual crowns. I don't know. who knows? And half of that is paid after they get married. So that seems like a weird detail, but it's actually important. So 200,000 crowns, half of it's paid at the time they get married. So they travel to Wales after they're married, and at this time they both come down with what's probably the sweating sickness, so they're both super, super ill.
Would that be, like, kind of what the flu is for
us
now?
Yeah, kind of. Basically, yeah. They just didn't have a name for it. You know, they get a fever, basically, and it's contagious. So typically people who had sweating sickness were confined to their rooms, and
Right.
So they both get really sick, and on April 2nd, 1502, Arthur dies. So they had been married 5 months and one day when he died.
Wow. Yeah.
Not a great start for Catherine.
No, that sounds pretty rough.
So Catherine's like, I'm going to become Queen of England. I'm going to marry the Prince of Wales. What a wonderful day in my life. I have been sitting here with my parents who are in charge of two different countries. I need a country to be in charge of. And she...
The family business.
Family biz. at all. Look,
being in charge of a country.
Arthur. I shall marry him. I shall be in charge, even though technically it's all under him. I shall be in charge because I'm Catherine and I'm a bad mother. I don't want to curse.
Thank that you. Was really good.
And then after 5 months and one day, Arthur is gone.
That sucks.
Yeah. I need to take a sip of my coffee. Hold, please.
This is important. gotta get energized. Let's
talk about Catherine. Yes, she's very important. So, obviously, after Arthur dies, somebody's going to be the new heir to the throne. And guess who that guy is? Henry VIII, who's not yet the eighth because he's not king yet. But his name is Henry.
There he is.
He's 10 years old.
Oh. How old were they when they got married?
15.
Oh.
Oh, wait. I'm sorry. Did you mean Henry and Catherine?
Yeah.
Oh. I have it here somewhere.
Well, then we'll get to it. Yeah. I don't have to worry about it.
We will get to it. Oh, she was 23. He was almost 18.
Okay. I forget that she was older than him.
Yeah, she's like 5 years older than him.
Huh.
Yeah. It like makes me mad when I think about how she was treated later on, because it's like, hey, respect your elders. I know you're the king of England and everything, but like, she's been around longer than you.
And she knows what she's doing.
Quit being a child. Anyway, so Henry is now the heir. So Henry VII, who is still on the throne, so that's Arthur and Henry's father, at this point has to decide if he is going to release Catherine from her obligation to their family. And in order to do that, he'd have to return her dowry.
Oh, that's why it's important.
Well, yeah. But so he, remember though, he only has half of the dowry at this point.
Right.
Okay, so then Henry VII's wife, Elizabeth, dies less than a year after Arthur dies. So, but this gives Henry VII another option, right? Like, he can release Catherine, or he could marry Catherine.
Eh.
Yeah.
Yuck.
But Catherine's father's like, not a big fan of that option.
Hey, thanks, Catherine's father. Well, you a real one.
He was like, no. Because then what happens, right? Henry VII dies, and then what happens to Catherine? She's a queen mother, and she has no power. So,
And at that point in his life, he probably wouldn't have any more children. He might, but...
Well, she could. She could. She's 15. She could. Or probably 16 at that point. She definitely could and probably would. But Henry VIII, who is from, you know, his marriage to Elizabeth, would still be the heir to the throne.
And they would be so far down the line, right. It wouldn't matter.
Right, totally. So that's when they decide Catherine's going to marry Henry VIII, who at this point is still the Duke of York, which is what you call the other kid, basically.
So did he not become the Duke of Wales after Arthur died?
You mean the Prince of Wales? Just... No.
Yeah. Oh, the Prince of Wales,
No, because that was still Arthur's title. You don't just take over the other person's title. So he already had a title, which was Duke of York. The line of succession is like, if the Prince of Wales can no longer be the heir, then it's the Duke of York, basically.
Okay. So then after Henry becomes queen or king, then his first son presumably would become the Prince of Wales.
Correct. And he, his first legitimate son did become the Prince of Wales.
Okay.
But we'll get into that at a later time.
Okay. I'm getting all my English facts.
Straight. We'll get to that in a different episode. So they decide that they're going to marry Henry and Catherine, and obviously he's 5 years younger than Catherine. They secure a marriage contract in June of 1503. So this is when they have a contract, but they're not yet married.
Mm-hmm.
And then Catherine's mother passes away.
Oh, no.
And remember, it's her mother's lineage that gives her a strong claim to the throne.
Right.
So then it's like, your value has decreased.
That's strange to me because she still is her mother's daughter. So right. She still has the exact same claim. Just the fact that her mother dies suddenly decreases it is strange.
Well, yes, but also her mother has far more power than her father. And when her mother is gone, that chances for alliances decrease as well, because she's not there to facilitate them.
That makes sense.
So there's also that. The marriage was supposed to happen 2 years after the contract, which would have been when Henry was old enough to get married. But it gets delayed. And Catherine's father is like procrastinating on paying the rest of her dowry. It hadn't been paid by the time they were supposed to get married. So they keep like pushing it back because Henry VII doesn't want them to get married until he has the rest of Catherine's stuff, basically. While Catherine is waiting to marry Henry, which she's basically been doing for since her first husband died, she's like sitting around like, okay, any day now. So while she's waiting to marry him, she's living in Durham House, which is in London. And she has like almost no money. She has some servants. She still has ladies in waiting, but she's expected to be supporting them financially and herself. But she's not like getting an allowance from the King of England. She's not getting an allowance from her father. Her household is sinking into debt. She's writing to her father and saying like, I have to sell all my jewelry to buy food and clothes. And I'm supposed to be marrying a Prince of England. Like, what is happening here?
Wow.
Yeah. So like Catherine has been through it, right? At this point, she's, I don't know.
A widow at age 16.
She's been married once for 5 months. She's been widowed already. She's supposed to be marrying someone else, but her dad is putting it off, and she's just like sitting around losing all of her money. And I feel so bad for her.
Oh yeah. It's awful.
Yeah. So in 1507, she actually serves as the Spanish ambassador to England. I'm assuming posted by her father, like, to England to serve as a Spanish ambassador, because she's living there. And she was the first female ambassador in European history because of that.
That's so cool.
Catherine is amazing.
She rules. Yeah. Like, I know we hear more. I feel like we hear more about the other wives because we only ever hear about Catherine in context of
Anne Boleyn.
She's so neat.
Yeah, and she, like, she went through it and back again. So at this point, obviously, the marriage is still being delayed. The Pope has to grant a dispensation for her to be able to marry Henry because it was not legal for a man to marry his brother's widow. But
that's interesting because I feel like we hear about that often, and I didn't realize that that was... actually illegal.
Well, it's common law under the Catholic Church, right? So The Tudors at this point are Catholic and they have to abide by the Pope's laws because they are meant to be, you know, basically the chosen ones to lead their country. Yeah. So they have to follow these laws that the Pope basically puts into place, or at least the Catholic Church. The whole concept of marriage is totally different. Like, a marriage being legal is whether or not it was consummated, right? So Did they have sex is the question. Catherine at this point testifies like, no, we didn't. We slept in the same bed, but all we did was sleep. And we never slept together. We were married 5 months. We never slept together, basically.
Mm-hmm.
That makes the marriage invalid. So if they had slept together, he would have been like, no, the marriage was valid. Like, can't marry your brother's widow because she's already been married. The whole thing is like, you're not supposed to marry someone who's not a virgin, basically. Which is like, okay. Good luck. So on April 7th, 1509, Henry VII, who's still King of England, dies of tuberculosis. So Henry VIII becomes king, obviously.
And it all goes downhill from there.
Here we go. Let the games begin.
Oh, no.
So, Catherine and Henry are married on June 11th, 1509. Finally.
Gee, how many? 7 years?
After Arthur died.
Is that how long that was?
After Arthur died, yeah. Oh,
that's rough. That poor woman had to live like that for 7 years.
Yes, and it's 6 years after she had a contract to marry Henry. That's when they finally got married, was 6 years after. Yeah.
Wow.
So, like we said, Catherine was 23. Henry was, it was like a few days before Henry's 18th birthday.
Wow. And like, he was, it's pretty wild to me that people were like kings at 18. That
they were kings at younger ages.
I know. It's weird. And like, at this point, Catherine has had more political experience than he has and is older. And so like,
oh yeah,
if Arthur, like she's in a, like a position to be a great ruler.
That's actually a huge aspect of their relationship because, like you said, she has more political experience. So a big, what's the word I'm looking for? I don't know. A big, dynamic in their relationship is her like being the teacher. Basically. Do you know, know what I mean? Like,
yeah, exactly. Yeah. No, that makes perfect sense.
So anyway, they are actually anointed and crowned in the same ceremony. So they get crowned at the same time, June 24th, 1509. So like we were saying, like that power dynamic was really interesting in their relationship. Like what I would say would be when they actually got married, the intention was a partnership.
Sure, because he was young and inexperienced and she had experience and he needed help, like, becoming an actual king.
And people expected her to have a lot of influence over him for the same reason, which is not super common when it comes to a king and his wife.
But for them, it made a lot of sense.
Right, right. And, you know, the general belief at the time is that Henry really does love Catherine. I mean, at this point, they've been betrothed for many years.
Yeah, they have something that those royals very rarely get, which was time to, like, actually develop a relationship.
Well, I mean, they weren't... I mean, she was living in a house separate by herself for...
Right, but they could still, like, write to each other and, like, actually get to know each other in a way that a lot of people don't get to.
Right, totally. But then, here it comes, y'all. Catherine starts having some troubles producing an heir.
Ruh-roh, Shaggy.
Here we go. So Catherine is pregnant 7 times.
7 times?
Which is a lot.
That's a lot with very few actual children.
Yep. Yep. Mm-hmm. So we'll talk about them. So August 1509, she's pregnant. She miscarries a girl January 31st, 1510. Catherine calls it an ill omen. So at this point, she's already like, oh, no.
Well, maybe if they would have started trying to have children earlier, maybe if they would have gotten married earlier.
But at this point, Henry's like, oh, you know what? It's not her fault. Like, it happens. Like, you know, these is the times we live in. It happens.
Which is true.
Yeah. But the stillbirth of this child has kept a secret, and Catherine actually remains in seclusion until she's pregnant again. Which happens in May of that same year, so 1510.
Oh, to have a miscarriage and then be pregnant again within the same year. Oh, man.
I know. Well, that's what happens when you're expected to be a baby-making factory.
That's rough.
Yeah, big time. So May of 1510, Henry, she becomes pregnant again. Henry, Duke of Cornwall, is born January 1st, 1511. So she has a boy.
Mm-hmm.
He's christened January 6th. And then on February 22nd, at 52 days old, he dies.
Aww.
They call it an intestinal complaint. I don't know what that means.
I don't know what that means. Huh. So then why – here's me trying to figure out England again. Why was he Duke of Cornwall and not Prince of Wales?
I don't know. I'm acting like I have any idea, but I don't.
That makes no sense. He was the first – son.
I don't know. Maybe he would have gotten that title later on. I don't know.
Maybe.
So after this, Henry goes to war with France. So Henry's like, bye. And he names Catherine regent. So
heck yeah, girl. Yeah, let's get some stuff done.
She's keeping an eye on things while he's gone. While she is regent, she's pregnant again.
Oh.
She goes into labor in November in 1513, prematurely, and she gives birth to a stillborn boy again.
Oh, I just want to give this woman a hug.
We're not done. 1514, another boy is stillborn.
This is terrible.
1515, here we go. Gives birth to a healthy girl, and this is Mary.
Ah, there she is.
So, later to become Queen of England, Mary the First, Bloody Mary, is born. And on February 18th, 1516, that's when she's born. She's christened on the 21st of February that year. 1517, another miscarriage. 1518, she gives birth to a daughter, but that daughter only lived a few days.
So
she's been pregnant 7 times. She's got one child.
Mm. And it's like, that was not uncommon for that time, but you usually hear more about, like, the peasant class, that happening to them a lot.
Because they don't have the care.
Yes. Yeah. And so it's, like, surprising that's why it makes me think that it might have been something genetic. Like,
well,
she might have had some kind of genetic disposition to, like, not be able to have children.
I don't think so. I mean, even for the people who had the care was not good.
That's true.
Right? So anything could have happened during the pregnancy or during labor. You know, it's just like having kids at this time is like hit or miss. It's like throwing darts at a dartboard, literally.
Yeah.
But speaking of which, while Catherine's going through all this mess, guess who has an illegitimate son with one of his mistresses? That's right. That's right, my friends. It's Henry VIII. This child is Henry Fitzroy. Fitzroy meaning son of the king.
That's so savage.
Cool one. Good. Totally, really subtle there. But I mean, I guess you can name him that all you want, but that kid's got no power, so.
It's just so rude.
Oh, anywho. So let's go back to 1513 when Catherine is regent of England, and let's talk about that a little bit.
Heck yeah.
She's got the title Governor of the Realm and the Captain General.
That's so cool.
Isn't that great? So while Henry's off having his super fun war with France, Catherine's in England, and guess who decides to declare war on them? It's our good friend Scotland.
Oh, hey, Scotland. How you doing?
Scotland invades England on September 3rd, 1513. And Catherine is like, no, thank you, please. And sends an army because she can do that.
Yeah, girl.
Regent. September 9th, there's a battle going on. Scottish King James the 4th, I think, if I know how to read Roman numerals right, dies in battle, and Catherine is victorious. She rode into battle in full armor while she was pregnant to address her troops.
She's my hero.
And then she sends James's blood-drenched coat to Henry while he's in France and is like, look what I did, which I'm sure he just loved. While he's fighting a war in France and can't get any traction, she's over here like, killed the king, you're welcome.
She's my hero.
Yeah, she's amazing. She's,
oh, I want to be her when I grow up.
Yeah, and I don't know if she like meant that as a dig. I'm sure she meant it to be like, ah, yes, for your kingdom. Look how victorious you were, even though you weren't here. But I see it as, I got it done and you didn't.
That's so metal.
You know what I mean? Yeah, totally. Education among women becomes fashionable while Catherine is the queen. She donates a ton of money to colleges all around England. She's like, educate your women. Because she's really well educated, too. Because she could be, because her parents were both royal.
Right. So this woman seems to have both brought perhaps the first Africans to England and also just made, like, let women get educated.
Yeah. I mean, at least a lot for that time she did.
Yeah.
I mean, a lot of women who have been in charge, that tends to be their thing. Like, if we think about Catherine the Great of Russia.
Oh, yeah.
She was all about it. She was all about the arts and educating
That's
women.
True.
She made a lot of schools. And there's like, I'm pretty sure there's like a whole museum, or at least part of a museum over there, if I'm remembering correctly, that is dedicated to like her work with educating young girls.
Cool.
Yeah. But anywho, we're not talking about that Catherine. We're talking about this Catherine, who can't produce a male heir. And Henry's getting really upset. And so he's not happy about having a daughter as his only heir at this point, because Henry's got this thing where he's like totally freaked out by women trying to rule England for a lot of reasons, but mostly because at this point, only three women had tried to rule England, and each time there was a civil war. So he's like totally freaked out about having to put a female on the throne and then the Tudors losing the throne.
But she's a Tudor. I mean, I guess her child wouldn't be.
Well, no, I mean, Mary's a Tudor. And if she had a child, that would also be a Tudor. I mean, the Tudor line stops with Elizabeth, who is Henry's other daughter, who never gets married and never has a child. She's the last one. But what he is panicked about is a woman getting on the throne and it causing a war. Because that's the kind of thing that happens. And then them losing the throne in the war. So Catherine... Okay, I feel like I'm jumping around, but I'm not. Catherine's nephew is the Holy Roman Emperor Charles V. So not only does Catherine have a super strong claim to the throne of England, but her nephew is the Roman Emperor.
This woman has some connections.
I know. And Catherine's over here like, hey, Henry, can we have an alliance with him instead of Francis I over in France? Because, like... this is going to be a lot better. My daughter could marry Charles, and then look at that alliance we've got. That's a pretty big one. So her...
that would do a lot for them.
Her intent is to have Mary, her daughter, marry her nephew, Charles, which, ew. But, you know, I guess
normal. That happened.
Yeah. But Henry's like, not interested in my daughter. Don't really care. Which is, like, really fun. Can you imagine being Mary?
That, like, no wonder she gets so mad later in her life.
Seriously. I mean, she does some seriously messed up things when she's on the throne. And she has, man, there's so much about Mary. But I'm going to go ahead and blame all of her psychological problems on her father.
That sounds about right.
Did you know that she had, like, more than one pregnancy that she thought was real, but it wasn't?
What?
Yeah. We could talk about that another time, too.
That's a different episode.
So, enter Anne Boleyn.
Ah, there she is.
One of Catherine's ladies-in-waiting. She's 11 years younger than Henry. And in 1525, Henry's like, I would like to hit that, please. Oh, no. Catherine's getting older. She can't bear children anymore at this point. And this is when Henry starts to really, like, become a bit delusional.
Goes a little off the rails.
Henry's like, ugh, my marriage is cursed. I can't have a son. I want this pretty young woman over here. My wife can't have babies anymore. Must be a curse because I married my brother's wife. And clearly, that's the problem.
Mm-hmm. That's the problem.
Yeah.
You tell yourself that, Henry.
Yeah, so he's like convinced, like, oh my God, the Bible says I can't marry my brother's wife. We won't have any children, which to them means sons, because, like, you have a child.
You actually have had many children, just none of them survived.
Right. And Catherine's like, no, like I testified before and will still testify now, never slept with him. And
so, not a real marriage in their eyes.
You are my husband. Thank you.
Yeah.
And so Henry starts to pursue an annulment, which the Pope has to approve of. And we can talk about it more if we talk about Anne later on, but...
I just don't know why he thought he would get anywhere with that.
Because he's the King of England. Sex,
and they had children.
Okay, but his argument is none of that mattered because she had sex with my brother first.
Which she said she didn't.
Right. And truthfully, I would believe.
Oh, yeah. That makes perfect sense to me.
I mean, they're 15.
Yeah.
And they've been married 5 months. And they have no reason
to start having children yet. Yeah.
Right. And they barely knew each other. Like, I could believe that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But, so Henry's like, grant me an annulment. He doesn't tell Catherine, really, that he's pursuing an annulment until June of 1527. And he's like, what if you just join a nunnery? Because Catherine is, of course, like, well, then what's going to happen to me? Like, you get an annulment for me, and then what do? I don't have money. I don't have standing anymore if you do that to me. Like, what, you know, like, what happens to Catherine? He's like, well, if you join a nunnery, which is common back then, like, if you wanted to get rid of your wife or something, like, you would send her to a nunnery.
Yeah. Hamlet, get thee to a nunnery.
Yes, exactly. Yes, Shakespeare.
Yes, Shakespeare.
Yes,
Get a Shakespeare.
Yes, Henty. And Catherine's like, I'm good. Thanks. She's like, I'd prefer not
I'd
to.
rather not, thank
Yeah,
you.
I'm really good. Also, I'm the queen, so no.
Tell him.
So,
Also, I killed. Remember that time that I killed that Scottish king for you and I was pregnant?
right?
So don't come for
I
me.
mean, she didn't do it herself, but like
Right, but she made a lot of decisions that made
she
that
made it happen.
happen.
She sent the army. So at this point, the Pope is actually a prisoner of Charles, Catherine's nephew, because of the sack of Rome in 1527. So the Pope is like, I would rather we make the decision of the annulment in Rome, and Henry, you may not marry again until I have made the decision in Rome without you.
Which he does not care for one
No, not a
bit.
bit. Because in his mind, marriage is already over. It's done. So even though the Pope hasn't like signed a piece of paper, in Henry's mind, his marriage is over.
Yeah, he decided a long time ago that this just wasn't going to be what it was anymore.
So here's some tea. Henry's chief
Ooh, spill it.
Henry's
Spill it,
chief
sis.
minister, Cardinal Wolsey, writes to the Pope and is like, Catherine is basically a sexual deviant. She has a disease. She's
Oh, good.
ravenous. She's constantly in a state of like he's basically calling her a nymphomaniac. He
Good,
starts
good,
this
good, good, good,
whole
good.
smear campaign against Catherine. And so here
Great.
is what Catherine does. Catherine says, actually, I know we're going to be taking this to court. I would like for it to be public so that I can defend myself. Henry
Yes.
wants the annulment to be private, but if she's asking for a public hearing, he can't really say no to that. So he agrees.
Yeah,
So
girl, you get him.
June 21st, 1529, their divorce court trial. Catherine is amazing. So court tradition states that Catherine is supposed to stand next to her chair, which is across the room from Henry. So the way that at least I've seen it set up is like the court officials are lined up against like the back wall of the court. There's an audience, right? They're lined up against the back wall of the court. And in front of the court officials, Henry's chair and Catherine's chair sitting on the basically what would be like the wings of the stage, the side of the stage, and they face each other.
So they're across from each
Exactly.
other.
Catherine is supposed to stand next to her chair to give her testimony. Instead, she goes across the room in front of Henry's chair, kneels down in front of him, and is like, I'm your true wife.
I put you at my, I like I
I'm
put
at your
myself at your
feet. Yes,
mercy.
she's the victim. Look at me. My husband's trying to get rid of me, but I've never been anything but faithful.
She's a
He
genius.
gets really mad and
Well, yeah.
he like has an outward angry response, which makes him look even worse because he looks like he's being super brutal toward her. And then, so after she gives testimony, Henry's lawyers are supposed to question her. She gives testimony and she leaves court. She walks out. She's like, try it
Yes.
now. Try it now.
This is so smart because if this would have been in private, they just would have been allowed to slander her. And she was having none of
Right,
that.
and she knows Catherine is the type of person who, like you said earlier, she's got a lot of experience. She knows that the court of public opinion is more important than pretty much anything else.
Oh my gosh,
And so
yes.
she insists to do it publicly. She like purposefully puts herself in the position of I am the victim, he is my oppressor, and I'm not going to
And
let them
then
take me.
doesn't. That's so
Yeah,
good.
it's amazing. Meanwhile, Anne Boleyn starts to keep Catherine's like male members of court from visiting her, and she starts putting her own spies into Catherine's inner circle because Henry's letting
Whoa.
Anne bring basically whoever she wants into court. And so
Right.
she starts bringing people in and like having them keep an eye on her basically.
Whoa.
Yeah. And then of course, Henry decides to split the Church of England for her.
Ah, there it is.
Yeah, and that's something we can obviously talk more about. I feel like it goes better with like Anne's story to talk about that whole process.
Yeah, because she's more like involved in all of
Yes,
that.
definitely. But he splits the church from Rome because Rome's not giving him what he wants. And in 1530, Catherine is banished from court, And Anne gets her rooms. Henry and Anne marry in a secret ceremony November 14th, 1532. So they get married. They're not, she's not divorced yet from Henry, Catherine. Catherine and Henry are divorced, but they get married. And in 1533, Henry's marriage to Catherine is declared null and void by Thomas Cranmer, which, I mean, like, he's...
Is a new and fake position that has been created right. for this man so totally. That they can be married.
Totally. And then he declares Henry and Anne's marriage valid on the 28th of May in 1533.
Jeez. It's, like, so convoluted.
Yeah. Yeah. But Catherine, for the rest of her life, refers to herself as the Queen of England and Henry's wife.
Yeah, girl. Yeah, girl.
Yeah. Her servants kept addressing her by that title. By the I would have. Henry will not acknowledge it in any way, shape, or form. He gives her the title Dowager Princess of Wales. So she still has a title, but it's in relation to Arthur. So the Dowager Princess of Wales is the widow of the Prince of Wales.
Oh, because when they were married, she was the Princess of Wales.
She would have been considered the Princess of Wales. So,
huh?
Yeah. Well, the Dowager Princess of Wales. That's the person who marries the Prince of Wales.
Right.
So, Catherine gets moved around a little bit after she gets banished from court. She lives in the Moor Castle in Hertfordshire. And then she's moved to Kimbolton Castle in 1535. In this time, she basically confines herself to her room. She only leaves to go to mass. Here's something I read that sounds really gross. She dresses in the quote-unquote hair shirt of the Order of St. Francis. So this is like, it's like a cloth or like an undergarment made of coarse cloth or animal hair. It's like worn by some Christian traditions. What I found was some sects of like Anglican, Catholic, Lutheran, Methodist, Scottish, Presbyterian churches. So not those whole religions, but some like people in those religions would wear them. And it's right. basically like a form of self-repentance. And it's usually worn like during Lent.
Right. It sounds like the kind of thing that people who like renounce all their earthly goods often wear. Yeah. Like
kind of that kind of thing. She fasts often. She's forbidden to see or write to her daughter.
That's worse. That sucks.
Neither of them can see each other or write to each other. Sympathizers will sometimes smuggle letters between them, but not many. And Henry would constantly come to both of them and say, like, hey, you can have better living quarters. You can talk to each other if you just say Anne is the queen. And they were both like, no, obviously not.
Good for them.
In December 1535, her health is not great. She can tell she's dying, and so she writes her will. She writes to Charles, her nephew, and asks him to look after Mary. And on January 7th, 1536, Catherine dies at Kimbolton Castle. She's 50.
That's a pretty long life for women at that time.
The news reaches Henry the next day, and Henry and Anne wear yellow in mourning.
In mourning, mm-hmm. quotes.
Sip my, I know it's coffee, but symbolically it's tea.
That's some good Foley
access. Yeah, thank you. I listen to my brother and me.
Can you tell?
There are lots of rumors that she was poisoned either by Henry and Anne's orders or by somebody who was doing it on behalf of them.
There's some tea.
Anne miscarries a boy on the day of Catherine's funeral.
That, like, I know that she didn't really do that, but that's just about the most metal thing Catherine could have possibly
done. If anyone could curse their husband's new wife into not having an heir, it would be Catherine.
Absolutely.
100%. During embalming, they find a black growth on Catherine's heart. And this gives more fuel to the rumors that she was poisoned, but it was probably cancer. But they didn't know that then. So Catherine is buried in Peterborough Cathedral. With the ceremony of a Dowager Princess of Wales, not a queen.
At least she got anything at all.
Well, she had to title. They had to do it. Henry was not there, and he did not let Mary go. I feel bad for Mary.
I don't like this dude.
Yeah. Fun facts about Catherine. The book The Education of Christian Women by Juan Luis Vives, which claimed women have the right to an education, was dedicated to her and commissioned by her.
Oh, that's lovely.
She was widely admired for her program for the relief of the poor.
I like her.
Most Catholics in England saw her as a martyr.
Sure.
Yeah, which I find interesting for a lot of reasons. But mostly because I find it interesting because Catholics in England see Catherine as a martyr, and then Anne sort of becomes a martyr for Protestants after she dies. Lots of portraits painted of her after her death, particularly of her speech at the Legatine trial, which Shakespeare wrote about in his Henry VIII.
Oh, there he is again. Hey, Shakespeare, how you doing?
Our old buddy Shakespeare.
He's everywhere.
Truthfully. Her tomb bears the title Catherine, Queen of England, and is often decorated with pomegranates, which were her heraldic symbol.
I like that her tomb says that she was.
Well, it does now.
Right. That's great.
Here's something interesting. Every year at the cathedral, there's a service in her memory.
Huh, I did not know
they
that.
They have prayers and processions and... they put candles and pomegranates and flowers on her grave.
Huh.
Also, I found this interesting, and this is my last fun fact. There has never been a film or television series in which she is the main character.
Huh.
So she's in Henry VIII.
Right.
But it's mostly about the legitimacy of her marriage.
Plus, that play is more about Henry than
yes. But he does portray her pretty in a pretty sympathetic light.
Yeah.
She's often played with a Spanish accent, but from most reports, that's accurate. She never fully mastered the English language. She wrote mostly in Latin, I think.
That's interesting.
I think she wrote mostly in Latin, if I remember correctly.
Oh, okay. That makes sense.
I might not be remembering that right, but man.
Right. And then, there are shows about Anne Boleyn, but there are no shows about her.
Right.
I think it's just because Anne came in all the drama, and so there's more stuff
Anne is
about
also,
her.
a much sexier topic, right?
Because she's true. That's true.
You know, the forbidden, whatever. And it's salacious. Whereas Catherine is the one that just gets booted.
Right.
Feel for Catherine, man. She was an amazing woman. Yeah.
She was.
Man, she was the best. Should we Google questions?
Yes, let's do some Google autofill. Welcome to our podcast. This is a thing that we do.
At least we do for now. We might not always do it, but we do it now.
That's true. So after we talk about a topic, we're just going to go over to Google, do some autofill questions, and see what people want to know about our friend Catherine.
So I put in, is Catherine of Aragon? And the first thing is a saint. Technically, no, but in my mind, yes.
Technically, no, but I think a lot of Catholics would probably be down with that.
Yeah, probably. Is Catherine of Aragon Spanish? Yes.
Yep.
Was Catherine of Aragon Catholic? Yes.
She sure was.
Was Catherine of Aragon a good queen? Ooh.
I think so.
I think so, too. I mean, I think out of all of Henry's wives up until his last, which was also a Catherine, I think she was the most active in terms of governance.
Right.
I guess.
Well, she was regent for a while.
She was. I believe his last wife was regent for some time too, but I can't totally
also
remember.
She was she married to him the longest
Catherine
of all of the other wives?
Because
it seems like probably
it was either her or his last wife, because she was still married to him when he died.
Sure.
And then she married somebody else, and that was her third marriage.
Oh, wow.
She was married before Henry as well.
We'll get there.
Was Catherine of Aragon murdered?
Who knows?
No. I mean, no. She had cancer.
But sis, who knows?
I know. She was not. What was Catherine of Aragon married to Arthur? Yes.
Yep.
A Habsburg. What? I don't know what that is. Was Catherine of Aragon a Habsburg?
That must be another line,
I guess,
of some kind of royal.
Actually, Googling it doesn't really give me an answer. Let's try.
I have no idea. Sorry, we cannot help you, Google.
Did Catherine of Aragon speak English? Yeah. Have a baby? Yes, many.
Many.
Sleep with Prince Arthur? Speculation.
Oh, no.
Get executed? No.
She did not.
Henry actually only had... Henry only had two of his wives executed.
Oh.
Just two. Anne, and then his youngest wife, who may have also been a Catherine.
There are too many Catherines.
I think he married three Catherines.
Oh, jeez.
Either that or two Catherines and two Janes, but I can't really remember. Marry again? No. Well, I guess if you're asking from the perspective of when she was married to Arthur, then yes.
Oh, but I think that they mean yeah. after Henry got yeah. her out.
Have any siblings? No, I don't believe so.
Well, she had a nephew.
Oh, so yeah,
she
you're right.
Had
you're
to
right.
have at least
oh,
one.
Oh, man, I'm so dumb. Yes, Joanna of Castile, Maria of Aragon, Queen of Portugal, ooh. And Isabella of Aragon, also a Queen of Portugal.
There you
man.
Go.
Catherine.
She had a big family.
Well, they all
I
did.
Mean, like, well, yeah.
They were royal.
That's true.
You know, again, they were all related to one another.
You don't hear much about the Spanish region during this time.
Yeah, I mean, it's mostly about France and England. They're always fighting with each other, like...
That is true.
I was like, Mom said I can have the remote. No, Mom said I can have the remote.
France and England really are just like...
Obnoxious just siblings.
Just, yes.
Thank God we're not like that.
Yes.
Well, that's all I have on Catherine of Aragon.
Yay. She's very cool. I like her a lot.
She's super cool. We'll talk more about Henry's other wives later on. Like, I don't think we'll do them back to back to back, but eventually we'll talk about the other wives because I'm very interested.
Yes. I really don't know a whole lot. I knew a little about Catherine. I know a little about Anne. And I feel like I hear about one of the Janes sometimes.
Yeah, probably.
Yes, but I really don't know. Like, I know that there are several of them, and I don't know a whole lot about most of them, so I'm excited yeah. to learn all about them.
Well, I got you, girl.
I got you.
So this is how this podcast is going to work. Like, one of us is just going to talk about something that we're interested in with the other. Sometimes I'll lead the discussion. Sometimes Amanda will. If you guys have topics that you would like us to talk about, like, send them our way. We have a lot of things that we like to obsess over in history, but if there's something that you're interested in, we'll do the research. We don't mind.
We are always excited to learn about more things, and so if there's something that you suggest that we think sounds very interesting, we will of course look more into that.
We love to learn.
We do.
So you can if you want to keep up with us in the podcast, you can follow us on Twitter at @RTTpod. Because remember, that pod was already taken. You can find us on Facebook as well. Remember that time and historical podcast.
If you want to email us suggestions for our podcast, you can do that at rememberthatpod@gmail.com.
And that's it, I think.
Do we want to give personal Twitters?
Yeah, I mean, you can follow me at TheRealAnnaWeb on Twitter. And I'm also that on Instagram and pretty much everything else.
And I am at ACW Nerdfighter on all the things.
Yes, we're very consistent. We got to keep that branding.
It's because I was too lazy to come up with another name.
Story of my life. How do we end these things?
I don't know. I have no idea. This is our first one. I don't know how we end these things.
Well, we did a test episode and we ended that, but I can't remember how we did it.
I feel like it was like, until next time. Remember that time.
I really like that.
Yep. I think that's it.
It's like just dumb enough.
Yeah.
All right.
All right. I'll start. You finish it. Okay.
Oh, we're going to split it.
Yes.
Oh, okay. We can do that, I guess.
All right. So until next time.
Remember that time.